Good afternoon, everyone. It is 3 p.m. Time to start our special assembly meeting. Tina, you want to call roll?
Here.
We can't hear you.
Oh, sorry, there was some humming noise. There you go. Denise?
Here.
Brenda? Brenda? Josie?
Here.
Carol?
Here.
Chris?
Here.
Warren? Paul?
Yes.
Samantha?
Here.
Daly?
Here.
Tom?
Here.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a quorum. In the Anchorage office, we have Ernie, Annie, Laura, and we have our special person on the end, Glenora. So in Sandpoint, just you, Tina?
Yes.
And then King Cole?
It's Jackie and Roxanne.
Thank you. Okay, so...
Hey, Alvin, this is Mary. I'm online as well.
Who's Mary? No. Okay, sorry, I forgot all about you. You weren't here. Oh, and just so everyone knows, Charlotte's not going to be on either. She's out working. Adoption of the agenda. Any changes or additions to the agenda?
Just removing the consent agenda, Alvin, but we do that when we get to them.
Oh, you do it now. So we want to
request that for you.
Just resolution 21-50?
Both of them, please. Thank you.
Oh, okay. So we'll move the ordinance to... Well, it'll just stay right there under ordinances. And the resolution will move down to resolutions. Okay. Anything else? Okay. So, Laura, do you have any public comments at this time?
No. Mayor Osterbach, none have come in. Thank you.
Okay. So we have a presentation from BDO. For the fiscal year 2020 audit review?
Sam, are you online?
Hello, yes, I am.
All right, you guys are up.
All right, well, thank you. Well, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for the opportunity to be of service to the borough and the opportunity to present our audit here today. We greatly value the relationship and appreciate the opportunity to work with everyone. It's been our pleasure. I also just want to give, before we get started or go any further, I just wanted to give a special thank you to Roxanne, Annie, Mary, Jackie, and everyone at the borough who assisted throughout the audit process. We greatly appreciate their help, especially this year where due to COVID, we did the entire audit remote and no one actually went out to King Cove or any of the other communities. So with that, I'll go over just a few general highlights, and then if everyone has a copy of the financial statements, I can dive into some of the numbers. But throughout the presentation, if anyone has any questions, please feel free to speak up, and I'll be happy to answer your question.
Sam, before you move on, this is Annie. Everybody, the audit is in the packet behind the resolution, just so you know where he'll be referencing. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt.
Oh, no, thank you.
Hey, Ward is signing on, too.
Okay, so I will go forward. So in terms of highlights, we have completed our audit. We issued our independent auditor's report over the 2020 financial statements. We issued a report on May 20th. The report we issued is referred to as
unmodified. Behind the resolution, just so you know where he'll be referencing.
Sorry to
interrupt.
No worries.
Ward is signing off, too.
Yeah, Warren's here.
Maybe that will help, and then if not, I'll dial out and call back in. So sorry, Sam. Let's see if we can try again.
No problem. I'll pick up from where I left off. I was just explaining we issued our audit report. We issued an unmodified opinion. So an unmodified opinion is also can be thought of as a clean opinion. That's the highest level of assurance we can professionally provide. So with that, that means we've performed our audit in terms of and with the goal of obtaining reasonable assurance over the financial statement amount, not absolute. So in other words, we audit the concept of materiality, and then it's definitely possible there could be small errors or omissions in the statements, but we would consider those to be immaterial. It's not possible to do an audit to absolute assurance, or if one were to do an audit to absolute assurance, it'd be extremely time-consuming and very expensive. So we audit in terms of reasonable assurance and in terms of materiality. In performing our audit, we encountered no difficulties or lack of information that prevented us from performing our work and allowing us to reach our opinion. So everything we did was in accordance with our interpretation of professional standards. In terms of the financial statement amount and where the borough ended the year, if you want to follow along, it would be on page 6, the printed page 6 of the financial statements on a document with a header of Exhibit A1, statement of net position. I'll just go over some of the more key or important numbers that everyone should be aware of. And if you don't follow along, that's fine. I'll, of course, read out all the important numbers and discuss them in detail. So the first number I want to discuss would be the total net position for the year. This is of June 30, 2020. In the position is equity for in governmental accounting terminology. That number was $126,684,113. So this is the net difference that the borough has between assets and liabilities. Of this amount, just over $20 million or $20,317,000 is considered unrestricted net position. So these are the net funds that the borough has available for both the assembly and management to use as they best see fit in fiscal year 2021 and beyond. In terms of total assets, the borough had assets of over $154 million. The majority of this is comprised of capital assets. This is the land, buildings, equipment, infrastructure that the borough owns, less depreciation that has accumulated over the years. The other large portion of close to $69 million worth is investments that the borough has. And these investments are in a wide variety of items or asset classes, everything from cash to stocks to bonds, to even the Southwest government's building. The total liabilities for the year was just under $28 million, and the majority of liabilities consist of bonds payable that the borough has on the books, and then the borough will continue to pay back to bondholders for several years. Another liability number that unfortunately has gone down dramatically over the years has been the borough's net pension liability and net OPEB liability. So these are liabilities that the borough is required to report due to participation in the PERS retirement system. These amounts will vary year over year depending on a variety of factors and are completely 100% out of the control of anyone at the borough. However, there is a responsibility under accounting standards to report these amounts. So those liabilities for the year were $1.6 million for the pension liability and only $51,000 for the net OPEB liability. We'll go forward to the next page, Exhibit A2, printed page 7 of the financial statements. There's the statement of activities, and this shows the borough's revenues and expenses for the year and overall change in net position. So the change in net position was a decrease for the year of $1,130,000. This just means that expenses did exceed revenues. Revenues, for the most part, the general revenues, fish taxes, state grants, federal grants, were consistent with prior year. Investment earnings were less than in the prior year. And, of course, this will happen over time as investment earnings are much more volatile than things such as state aid and fish taxes. Overall, though, as I mentioned, the borough ended the year with well over $126 million in that position, which is a very strong amount to have going forward. If you continue on to the balance sheet or page 8, here you see the borough's amounts broken out into various funds. The general fund is the borough's main operating fund. This is the fund where you should spend the majority of your time and attention in terms of how the borough manages its funds for day-to-day operations. So the general fund ended the year with unassigned fund balance of over $25 million. And to put this number into perspective, the general fund had expenditures of the year of $3.7 million and transfers out of $4.4 million. So you add those two together, it's just over $8 million. So, again, to put this into perspective, the borough has over $25 million of unassigned fund balance, or over 3 years' worth of average expenditures and transfers out of the general fund. So a doomsday-type scenario where the borough to not bring in any additional funding for 3 whole years, the borough does have on hand enough savings or unassigned resources that you could cover approximately 3 years' worth of general fund expenditures. That's a very strong position to be in and very enviable compared to other communities throughout the state who don't have those kind of financial resources at their disposal. Outside of the general fund, of course, the borough also has the permanent fund, and the permanent fund ended the year with over $42 million in assets. These amounts are restricted in use. However, a portion of the funds can and were in 2020 transferred out to the general fund to support ongoing operations. And, of course, the investments in the permanent fund are in a variety of different asset classes. The performance for the year for the permanent fund was positive and that revenues exceeded expenditures. However, it's possible due to financial market volatility that in a future year that the fund could show a loss on an investment. Going forward, I'll draw attention on page 12 to the borough's two enterprise funds, the terminal fund and the helicopter fund. And then on page 13, you'll find both the terminal and helicopter fund statement of activities or revenues and expenses for the year. Both the terminal and helicopter fund ran operating losses for the year. However, for the terminal fund, if you back out depreciation, which was $255,000 and is a non-cash item, the terminal fund actually would have had an operating gain for the year. Both those funds were relying upon transfers in from other funds to make up for those losses for the year. Helicopter fund requiring a transfer in of over $656,000 to make up for its operating loss for the year. Those were what I would consider the key base statements. Now, you'll find a variety of note disclosures throughout the rest of the financial statements. I won't go in depth too much on the notes, but I would like to draw your attention to note 13, which begins on page 47. This is a coronavirus pandemic note. As you'll recall, there is a similar note in last year's financial statements. Hopefully this is the last year such a note will be required. The purpose of this note on page 47, 48, as well as note 14 on page 48, is just to provide the users of the financial statement. So this being external users such as bondholders that the borough might have and federal and state granting agencies, and the impact that the coronavirus has had on the borough financially, what is known, as well as what's possible out there, and management's assessment of the potential impact going forward. Note 14, this provides in detail the various federal funds that the borough receives specific to the coronavirus pandemic, that being the Coronavirus Relief Fund. As federal funds passed through the state of Alaska. Now, the borough only expended $90,000 in 2020. However, there's a couple million dollars available to be expended in 2021. So you'll see those funds in next year's audit as well. So with that, those are the base financial statements. I will now bring the discussion forward and discuss the single audit. So in addition to the financial statement audit we performed, we also performed an audit in accordance with uniform guidance or federal auditing standards. And this audit was specific to the borough's federal funds. The program that we audited this year was the PILT program, or the Payments in Lieu of Taxes program. This is a program that the borough receives annually, and it's federal funds that really have very few limitations as long as the funds are spent for a general purpose or a purpose of the government. We audited that program in particular, paying attention to how those funds were expended. We issued an unmodified opinion over this program, and that we found the funds were spent in accordance with applicable compliance requirements. In fiscal year 2021, however, the program that will be audited as major will be the Coronavirus Relief Fund. So next year's audit will be a special sub-audit performed over how the borough expended the funds that were received from the federal government specific to COVID, making sure those funds were spent in accordance with applicable federal laws and regulations. If there's no questions, I'll continue and wrap up my presentation by just going over our review of the borough's internal controls over compliance and internal controls over financial reporting. Now, we do not issue an opinion over internal controls. However, we do evaluate them in terms of how they relate to the financial statements as a whole, and then if there were material weaknesses or significant deficiencies, the impact that those could have on our ability to issue a clean opinion over the financial statements. So in our review of internal controls, we did identify a material weakness and three significant deficiencies. So with that, we're concluding that there still is room for improvement for the borough to improve internal controls over financial reporting, in particular, improve internal controls over segregation of duties, payroll transactions, journal entries, and making sure that the books and records are closed in a timely and accurate manner. We've discussed those with Annie, and she has provided us with a corrective action plan. And you can find, starting on page 85 of the financial statements, the purpose of the correction action plan is just for management to provide their plan going forward of how to resolve these issues. We've gone over the corrective action plan with Annie, and we are in agreement. If the borough is able to achieve these objectives, the internal controls will strengthen, and the deficiencies should go away in future periods. That concludes my prepared presentation over the audit and the financial statements themselves. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you. Good presentation. You guys do good work. Questions from the assembly?
Just letting you know I'm here, Mayor. This is Brenda.
Go ahead, Brenda. Did you have a question?
I didn't have any questions. No, sir.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know I've been here.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Paul, was that you also in there?
Yeah, just had a quick question. Usually we get a hard copy of the audit. Maybe you could just run through why we don't have one this year. It's easier to follow along with the hard copy sometimes.
So BDO can print a few. We just hadn't gotten there yet. As far as a hard copy, if you would like one, we can ask the offices to print one for you.
Yeah, at least for me, it's difficult to follow through on the pages. And I know I like to do it. Maybe other people have different opinions. But thank you. I did have one question reading through it. home. It's easier on my home computer than with a mobile device. But there was references to bookkeeping services, too. Has anything changed on that, or is that just what we have been doing in the past? Thank you.
So, Sam, I can answer that. This is Annie. So last year we did hire a full-charge bookkeeper who was scheduled to go out to King Cove for a week to meet with Roxanne and Jackie. Unfortunately, COVID happened and travel did not occur. So she still is going to work with us. We have policies and procedures in place to address each one of these items that's listed in the corrective action plan, and those will be taking place here in the next couple weeks to start having them look at journal entries, bank reconciliations, and other documents as needed. So, yes, they'll still be working for us, but our hope of her going out last year just didn't happen because nobody was traveling.
Okay, then the final follow-up talking, I guess the final question I had is, I think Roxanne, you're back in King Cove, I think you mentioned, do you have any comments, general comments on the audit and how it went? I guess we're using the same firm next year. Anyway, maybe if you had any comments, if you don't, that's fine too, Roxanne. Thank you.
Apparently not. Okay.
If I can, I just want to tell Sam and your crew, thank you very much for all your assistance with this. It's very much appreciated, and it's been really wonderful working with you guys this year.
Well, thank you, Annie. We appreciate the assistance and the opportunity to work with you and everyone else at the borough.
Okay. Well, if there's no other questions, again, thank you from myself and from the Assembly. So with that, we'll just go forward with our agenda. So appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you.
So does anyone feel like they may have a conflict of interest on any of the items on the agenda? Hearing none. The first item, emergency ordinance 21-13, issuing a declaration of disaster emergencies in response to COVID-19. Annie?
Motion. I make any motion.
Oh. Could I have a motion?
This is Brenda. So moved.
Thank you. Second?
This is Carol. I'll second it.
Thank you, Carol. Okay, Annie.
Okay, so before you is Ordinance 2113, which is an emergency order of the Aleutian East Borough Assembly issuing a declaration of disaster emergency in response to COVID-19. You guys have seen, I don't know, 10 of these to date, but essentially this would continue our declaration of disaster for COVID, and this would go into effect effective today for 60 days, which ends July 25th, 2021. Nothing else is changed in this order or ordinance of any significance.
Okay, thank you. Comments?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have a couple of comments when that's appropriate.
Now is a good time.
Thank you. I know we're under a certain, Annie mentioned what phase we were on before. I lost track of what phase we're on, but most communities are opening up quite a bit, and I would personally prefer more modifications to open the community up. The whole nation is moving along to open up, including communities in Alaska, like Anchorage and Cordova and other communities have opened up a lot, and it seems like we're a little behind the curve on what the borough is open up for. So that was my view. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? All right. question on the ordinance?
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
No.
Okay, thank you. Ordinance 2113 is adopted. So resolution 2150 has been moved down to resolution, so we're on item 7, the public hearing. So we need a motion and a second to open the public hearing. So open the public hearing on ordinance 21-12, adopting the operating and capital budget for 2023.
Chris, make a motion.
Okay, so Chris made the motion, second by Brenda.
Yes.
Okay, so public hearing is now open. Hey, just so everyone remind you that you can call in on this one for the public. So we give it a minute or two. Okay. We don't have anybody calling in, so I'll go ahead and close the public comment on ordinance 21-12. So, assembly comments.
Mr. Mayor, I do have a few minutes of comment if when it's appropriate. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you. In terms of our budget for next year, Mr. Mayor, I'm looking at the proposed administration budget, and there's, you know, it's about a $1.9 million deficit, which is way too high for me to support. Normally, I don't like to support any deficit spending at all. This year is a little different. However, one way to deal with it is to postpone or to delete from this budget about half of that amount, about $950,000, which would be pretty easy, and we could delete, we could reconsider it during our mid-year budget revision, and that would give us an extra year to sort out where our budget is headed instead of spending it all with very little restriction this year. Would give us more options. And I did go through, Mr. Mayor, I did go through the budget yesterday and highlighted some of the options for reducing that $950,000, and it was fairly easy to do. And I'll just give you one example. And if you go to the FY22 permanent fund earning appropriations, three items alone would get us there. And I'll just wait a couple seconds for people to get to that page if they desire. If they that item, we have $75,000 in fisheries research, which is nice, but we can postpone that for 6 months and reevaluate that. Our Sandpoint Nakatan Harbor floats, it looks like we're going to be at least 6 months down the road before we even get to that. That's $600,000. And then the contingency amount of $198,668. So just those three items alone would get us there. And there's a whole bunch more, too. And because this is an exceptional year, I'm willing to live with a little bit of deficit, but not that amount. So I don't know if I would get a second, but I would, when it's appropriate to make a motion to amend, I would feel it's my obligation to at least try to amend the budget before it's adopted or not. Thank you.
Okay. So, yeah, if that's what your desire is, then I think you should go ahead and make a motion. We get a second, and then we can – Annie?
Yeah, so just so you guys are aware, Paul and others, that I think that since you are changing the permanent fund earnings rather than actual budget item, which is reflected in the ordinance, it would probably be more appropriate to make that amendment during the resolution 2149, which is the permanent fund earnings, and you would need to make a motion to strike those three items you referenced and add them, like, I don't know what the right terminology would be off the top of my head, but it would be something to the effect of using those funds for the general fund or something to make up the deficit. Because these projects aren't really reflected in the budget necessarily.
Yeah.
Fund 20 is not in here.
Yes, Annie, just a point of inquiry then. If these budget items that I mentioned, which total almost $900,000, they would get deferred to the budget, I guess, instead of going to these, instead of instead of going to these projects for now for 6 months. That was my intent, and so I think it would be appropriate for some discussion in the budget, but I'll defer to your judgment.
I guess if you don't mind, give me 5 minutes. I can call Roxanne real quick and talk about how this could happen, because I'm wondering if it has to go under revenue somehow, under the actual budget, because it's not reflected in here right now.
Thank you. I'd prefer to wait a couple minutes for another. But Mr. Mayor,
let's just stand down for 5 minutes while Annie confers with the finance department. Okay, everyone, I hope you're all still there. We're back. Annie, you got the floor.
Okay, the only way we could figure out to do what Assemblymember Grunholt is proposing is to add under revenues local, and I'm looking at the ordinance. Well, I'm actually not looking at the ordinance, but that's, if you look at the ordinance, is to add under revenues local a line item called FY22 permanent fund earning transfer, and that would be in the amount of $873,668.13, which then changes the total FY22 revenues to $6,332,455.13, which then changes the AEB deficit from $1,912,221 to $1,038,552.87. The other item in the ordinance that would need to change is under Fund 20. That would change from $1,751,265.13 to $877,597 on both the revenues and expenditures, if that's what you choose to do.
I guess that's kind of the way we would have to go with it, Paul, so you understand that? Did we lose him?
Yes, I did hear Annie Alvin. And,
okay, good.
And the total amount was $873,668, I believe is what she said, 13 cents. And that would be my intent of the motion would be.
Okay, well.
Do that. And then there was one other small item that went along with that, too. But I don't know if where we are on the motion, but still on the floor, is still hasn't been proposed yet, I guess.
Well, you need to make a motion, and then we need to get a second, and then we can discuss it.
Sure. Okay. And so my motion would be to concur with what Annie said, and that would, you know, the amount of that permanent fund to go into our revenues would be $873,668.13. And then I did have one clarification, and the other part of the motion would be to just delete them. Under the consultants in the administration budget, there's a total of $80,000, but I believe part of that is a PGS, and I don't know the amount, and I would like to add that to my motion, but how much is our professional growth system amount of that $80,000? Thank you.
So without having the invoices in front of me, I believe is around $40,000 for his services. The other services that are used out of that contracting item is for an airport consultant that I used for help with some of the rental fees and stuff for the airport. He's been helping me with that. And also funds for that will be used for the full charge bookkeeper who will be assisting us with the journal entries and bank reconciliations.
Thank you. So, Mr. Mayor, the motion would also include deleting PGS under administration, which is an amount of $40,000, and that brings the total savings to $900,000 deferred savings, because we can add it later mid-year. But anyway, the total savings to $913,668.13. So that would be my motion, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. We need a second for that motion if we're going to go forward with it for discussion. Hearing none, motion dies for lack of a second. Other comments on Ordinance 21-12.
Mayor and Annie, this is Daly. I have a question. I don't know.
Go ahead, Daly.
Okay, so, you know, the money's for the Kobe Clinic. Where is that money in, you know, in the theme of the budget?
So that's under Fund 22, which isn't really reflected in this FY22 budget. Those funds have already been allocated. So if you look in the financial statements, which there's not one in the packet, all those funds are there. And so those aren't impacted by the FY22 budget right now.
Does that answer your question? Apparently. Any other?
Yes, it sure does. Thank you.
Okay. Any other?
I was on mute.
Oh, okay. Any other comments or discussion?
Just a real short one, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Sure, Paul.
thank you. As I mentioned earlier, that $1.9 million deficit, which is in our budget, is far too much for me to support. So I plan on voting no on the budget. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And, you know, we talked about this somewhat in the workshop. I know it's a right now it stands at a $1.9 million deficit. Depending on fisheries, depending on what the legislator does with the reimbursement on bond issues that we have for the school debt bond and for a harbor debt bond, it could change, you know, quite a bit. But whatever the legislator is going to do, we can't count on until they do it. So, and I agree with Paul. I mean, we can't survive on a $1.9 million deficit in the future. Currently, we do have the funding available to carry us through this year. I think we've got a pretty slim budget. We didn't even allow for any increases in salaries for employees that time, which that's not a big item compared to what our deficit is. But again, I think that the Assembly needs to all be sitting at the same table during a budget workshop sometimes for this fall. As this COVID-19 goes away, and it allows us to all get together and bring in whatever expertise that we have besides our staff to help us go through this. I think using our planning consultant, we need to do at least one more year to be part of this as we get to where we need to be. As you know, our planning sessions that we do each year, we lay out all of the different projects that we have and different things that we want to complete. I think it's a very good roadmap for the Assembly and the communities to look at and see where we are and what we're doing. And we actually do use it. It's upgraded every quarter. People can see what the employees are doing, what the different departments are doing, and where we are. And maybe some of that's going to have to change. But I think we really need to have this face-to-face with everybody there. Everybody will have the same understanding of what funds are available and the things that we should be doing, and we can talk about the things that we're not going to fund or we won't be able to. So, say, just taking the float systems for Sandpoint and Acton. Well, this is a match for funds that we've put in for. So if that's not there, I mean, some of these discussions are, these are the kind of things that's going to take place. Well, if we take that out and we get the grants and we don't have the match for it, we lose out and we wind up at the bottom rung again. Some of the things people, I know a lot of people don't look at, and it's something I think people should think about, is if you finish building the boat harbor in Sandpoint and you finish building the boat harbor in Acton, the communities themselves benefit because they get to lease out the stalls to customers that come in. It helps with all your soft benefits. You know, and soft benefits include, you know, whether you're a restaurant, a bar, a welder, a fiberglass person, electrician, people that do refrigeration, airplane tickets in and out of town, haul-outs for the travelers. There's a lot of soft money that people don't even consider when you do this, and that's soft money because all of our communities have sales tax. This adds to the coffers of each community. And right now, when you take a look at what's been going on in the area, any additional way we can help the communities build up their reserves or their monthly tax base is a big help to those communities. So, you know, so I think on everything that's in our budget, at some point, as we go through this, we're going to have discussions on all of them. So I think it's very important for everybody to understand where the money is and how we could utilize it best. But like I said, I think that needs to happen in a face-to-face meeting. For if it takes a couple of days, that's fine. But we haven't done one of those in a while. We were trying to do it this last year, but with COVID, that wasn't going to take place. So anyway, just I think those are the kind of things people need to think about as we go forward. But definitely I agree with Paul that this is not sustainable. So we have to figure out how we are going to be able to afford what we have or what we need to change. But I think that's a conversation for later this year. Thank you. Any other comments?
Hey, Alvin, Chris here.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what Paul's saying, too, and even what you're saying. I mean, yeah, we don't like to see that 1.9 deficit, but, you know, I agree. You know, we've been trying to push these two harbors to get done for quite a while, and I'd certainly hate to see that money taken out, and then if we get the grant, we don't have the matching for it. So, you know, I think we're being conservative, you know, and we could see, you know, possibly a little bit better fish tax. Like Ernie was saying, there was better fish tax in April this year. And you know, we can always go back and look at the budget again. And I agree with the face-to-face meeting, too. It's been a while, of course, with COVID and stuff. And it would be good to sit down and really go over the budget again for the next couple of years.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. So, if there's no other comments, then Tina, you want to call a question on the motion?
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. So before us, we have Resolution 21-49. We need a motion to bring it on the floor.
This is Brenda. So moved.
Thank you, Brenda.
Denise, I'll second.
Second that. This is Goldie.
Thank you, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So this is Resolution 2149, authorizing the mayor to appropriate the FY22 permanent fund earnings to designated projects and to reappropriate false pass front end loader funds in Department 820 and Nelson Lagoon funds in Department 800. In the packet, the resolution title is different than what's on the agenda. We're going to consider that a clerical error and fix that to what I just verbalized to you all. This resolution is in regards to the permanent fund earnings. The borough assembly, in its discretion and consistent with our code, may in any fiscal year appropriate an amount not to exceed 4% of the five-year average market value to be computed using the five-year prior calendar years. This year, that amount for FY22 is $1,751,265.13. Now that Ordinance 2113 has been adopted and approved, we kind of already just discussed those projects, but just to summarize, there are 6, 7 community budget requests that were made from the communities, totaling approximately $327,000. And then there's a deferred maintenance line item, $250,000, fisheries research in the amount of $75,000, Sandpoint and Accutan Harbor floats in the amount of $600,000, Sandpoint school funds in the amount of $300,000, and project contingencies in the amount of $198,000, and I'm rounding on some of those numbers. So it also goes through with to reappropriate some funds. One is just 74 cents that's remaining in the front-end loader amount, which would be reappropriated the project contingency. That's just so we can close that account out. That project has been completed. And then there's $11,295 remaining in the Nelson Lagoon school line item. and that would be reappropriated to the deferred maintenance line item. That project, as you know, the school has been transferred to the Nelson Lagoon Tribal Council, so those monies have been sitting there for years, so I'd like to reappropriate those so we can use them. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know. Thank you.
Any discussion on Resolution 2149? Hearing none.
Oh, Mr. Mayor, just a quick comment. I'm not going to propose to amend anything. I do support most of the items on this list. However, there were those three items for 873 I thought would be better put into our general fund temporarily for 6 months. So to be consistent, I'm going to vote no on the resolution, even though I support most of the items. Thank you.
Okay. Other comments? Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Warren?
Yes.
Paul?
No.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay, thank you. So before us we have Resolution 21-50, supporting COVID-19 vaccines. We need a motion and a second.
I'll make a motion. This is Carol.
Thank you, Carol. Second, Warren.
I'll second. Brenda, second.
Okay. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, before you, Resolution 2150, supporting and encouraging its residents to get the COVID-19 vaccine. As you know, this has been a pandemic worldwide for many, many months now, and this resolution strongly supports and recommends that its residents get vaccinated to protect the public health and to get our communities reopened. With that, I guess if there's any questions or comments.
Comments, anyone?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make quick amendments. Small amendments, if that's appropriate now. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the amendment would be under the item now, therefore be it resolved to change the word residents into the phrase people in the Aleutian Eastboro.
What does that change? Does that change anything? No.
Oh, residents. So you don't have to be a resident. You just, if you're a person in the area, right? And that
yeah.
would be the only difference. Is
yeah. Because doesn't it say resident? No. It says residents or visitors?
Residents no. Visitors?
And visitors.
No, I'm not in the bottom line. It doesn't. It
oh.
says residents get vaccinated. So.
Okay.
Can I ask a quick question, Paul, with that? Did you want the title changed? Because it says encouraging its residents as well.
I didn't go up to the title, but I believe, yes. So it would reflect the title, too, just to, yes.
So we've got it where it says it recommends the people in the Aleutians Eastboro get vaccinated.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, y'all. We need a second?
I'll second it, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Any discussion on the amendment?
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, just to clarify, I only put that in there so it refers to everybody in the area, not just the residents. It refers to people who are non-resident who come and work or fish here, too. Thank you.
Okay. Any objections to the amendment? Hearing none. So we have the amended, excuse me, we have the amended Resolution 2115 before us. If there's no other discussion, question on the motion.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 2151, Assembly accepting the financial statements, required supplementary information, and single audit reports for the year end June 30th, 2020. We need a motion on this again.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Carol, second by Josie. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly, before you is Resolution 2151, accepting the financial statements, required supplementary information, and single audit reports for year ended June 30th, 2020. So this is for fiscal year 20. We heard from BDO earlier this afternoon, and they were hired to do our audit statement for FY20. They came up with they completed the audit, and it was unmodified opinion and clean opinion, which is great. There were a few items that did come to our attention, which was there were a few journal entry adjustments and no restatements, and then we also had one material weakness and three significant deficiencies, and also for the federal award findings, which they looked at the PILT account for that, there were two significant deficiencies. So in the packet, there is the findings and also the corrective action plan on how we will address those findings for you. I've reviewed this pretty closely. I've had numerous conversations with BDO, and I recommend approval of the FY20 audit.
Okay, thank you. Discussion from the Assembly? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion?
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Chris?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Daly?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Thank you. So before us, we have Resolution 21-52. Assembly authorizes the borough mayor to negotiate and execute a contract with Dow to complete a 65% design and guaranteed maximum price, 100% final design, and construction negotiations for the Cold Bay Terminal expansion in the amount not to exceed $147,337. We need a motion and a second.
So move, Warren.
Thank you, Warren.
Denise, I'll second.
Thank you, Denise. Annie?
Yes, Mayor Osterbach and Assembly. So in order, I'm not going to repeat the whole title for you, but this is 2152. It also does reappropriate $200,000 from the Cold Bay Bracing Project to the Cold Bay Terminal account as well. But basically, the borough's administration has been directed to expand the Cold Bay Terminal facility to accommodate additional space for social distancing due to the COVID-19 emergency. We have already contracted Dow to perform a feasibility study and 10% conceptual design, which have been completed. They are in the process of completing the 35% design right now, and we have gone out for solicitation for a general manager, general contractor. Those proposals are due June 7th, and a pre-proposal meeting was held yesterday. There were a few parties that did attend that meeting. So we do anticipate that the cost to construct the facility will be about $1 million. The borough currently has $854,000 in CARES Act funds to pay for this, but the rest will be need to be appropriated from the borough's general fund at a later date. Project management and engineering services are not included in this construction cost at this time, so these are being paid for out of different line items. And what we're proposing here to cover Dell services for the 65 guaranteed design and the guaranteed maximum price and the 100% in contract negotiations is to transfer or reappropriate the $200,000 from the Colbay Bracing project line item to E2500603. The Colbay Bracing project's kind of been on hold for a few years. I don't know when or if we're going to get to that, so I think we should transfer those funds now, and then we can address the terminal bracing project at a later date. With that, I just want you to be aware that this project has its challenges. We're trying to get this done by December 30th. It's a really challenging time to get materials, even get contractors for that matter, and shipping costs, everything is super expensive. So there's just a lot of unknowns that are out of our control with this project, but we are working as hard as we can with an extremely aggressive schedule to get this done on time. So with that, if there's any questions, please let me know.
Discussion from the Assembly?
Mr. Mayor, just a quick comment. Last meeting, everybody's Assembly, I think, supported this, and I certainly do, and we get along as I appreciate that Annie and the staff have been working hard to implement this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Others? Okay. Hearing none. Question on the motion? Tina.
Oh, sorry. We're muted. Chris?
Yes.
Warren?
Yes.
Brenda?
Yes.
Paul?
Yes.
Denise?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Josie?
Yes.
Tom?
Yes.
Samantha?
Yes.
Haley?
Yes.
Thank you. Motion carries.
Okay. Thank you. So our next item is our next meeting date. Since we're not going to have one in June, this was basically our June meeting. So the next one would be in July. If we go by the our ordinances, our scheduled time would the second Thursday would be July 8th. I don't know if we want to stick to that or move it to the 5th, 1st, or the 2nd. Salmon season starts again.
The 5th or 6th, right? And then I think it's closed. It's open for a day and a half, right? 36 hours and then closed for 48, right?
So is it closed on the 8th? We'll ask the resource department.
Well, I haven't looked at the calendar, but I will.
I think, for some reason.
Yeah, I didn't look. I didn't look at that. I'll just didn't even think about it. Hang on a minute, everybody. We'll figure it out.
Change it later.
Oh.
Have it tentatively on the 8th, and if that changes, you guys can figure it out.
think it's close?
I think. I don't know.
Okay. You don't have it up. Ready?
Right now I do. I mean, they do. Blow it in that truck.
We'll tell you here in a second.
Yeah, can't blame it on the slow internet.
We could.
I thought you guys had super fast internet out here. Isn't that GCI? Yeah. Like warp speed or whatever it is?
I guess.
Oh, no, that's the COVID-19. Is
well, calendar July 8th is no fishing.
Okay.
Oh. We're,
what?
Yes, no fishing on fishing on the 6th and the 7th.
Okay. We'll leave it on the 8th, so second Thursday in July will be our next meeting. So unless anybody has anything else, I'll look for a motion to adjourn.
To adjourn.
So move.
We'll move on.
Okay. Everybody, take care. Have a good July, or June, I guess.